Hi, I'm Norman Burnett. I'm the owner of the Homefront Bus. Well, it's just been refurbished and the whole interior is converted into a living history experience from the 1940s, and we tour events and we visit schools. So rather than the school hiring a coach and going to the museum, they can hire us and the museum will come to them. So it's mainly done in year 5 and year 6 in primary schools, and we just meet the curriculum and help them out with that. We're based in Kent, we're based in Dover. We will travel wherever. However, the bus is very old, very slow and very thirsty. So the further we go, the more we have to charge people. So in our first year, we're trying to stay Kent, Sussex, South London, that area. But we're being more adventurous as we get our feet under the table.
Hi, my name's Eddie Chambers. I work with Norman, actually, sort of running the Homefront Bus. He probably comes to me for knowledge, experience, know-how, what, you know, it was actually like to live during the Second World War. Because right at the beginning of the war, when war was declared, I was 4 and a half. So when war really started after the phony period in about 1940, I was 5 and a half years old. So I've got some pretty good memories of those times. When we're at an event like this, I just sort of mill around the various areas on the bus. And mostly people either want to share their own experiences or they want to ask me some questions, as I am obviously a veteran of World War II from the home front. Obviously, when we go to schools, I say I'm probably the centre of attraction because they want to hear all the stories, not just about the history of World War II, but they want to hear the stories of what it was like to live it.
We're here for the whole duration of a war and peace. People can come and visit us today. They need to make us a donation to come on board the bus, and then once inside, they'll see our 1940s living room.
Right, this is the 1940s living room, and the thing that we tell most people when they come in here, that the things that are here are all genuine artifacts, articles that were in use at the time in a typical living room, and probably this is about the only place they'll ever see them now. A 1940s gas mask. The good news about that is we now had to use them, but nevertheless we had to, you know, had to wear them. Other things, we talk about the wireless as opposed to the radio. And that would, of course, have been the sole entertainment. And then, as far as the kids are concerned, we usually say, where's the telly? And obviously it's not here. There is no television. Television was obviously around in 1940, but only for very rich families.
Then they can see our 1940s shop.
Come through to the shop.
Oh, wow. We bring people into here, obviously, because this is displayed as a 1940s grocer shop. We try to make the emphasis on grocery because in those days there were no supermarkets. So it's an unusual thing to come into here and only be able to buy groceries and have to go down to the road to the bakers for bread and the butchers for meat and so on and so forth. So they find that quite interesting that you know, a shopping expedition is not just to one shop. On displayed actually on the counter, bear in mind this is 1940. Rations did alter a little bit during the period of the war, depending on supplies. But actually in 1940, we display an adult ration for a week of the foods that were rationed.
And then they can go upstairs, which is a bombed out street with some effects, and a grumpy air raid warden up there as well.
Follow me.
Now this is a real typical London street scene, especially during the period of the Blitz. Now this man here, he was mostly known for being a grumpy old thing because he's an air raid warden, and it's his responsibility to make sure the streets were clear whenever we had the air raid warning going off. So he would encourage people to get off the streets, into public shelters, or at least if it was near their home, to get home and get back down in their own shelter.
Of an evening, it's lights out. Make sure people have got their blackout blinds and blackout boards up. Otherwise, it's come on, hurry up to your shelter. You can hear the air raid siren. Don't just stand there. Don't dawdle. There's a war on. At some points, air raid wardens were known for giving out fines, although Churchill later stopped that.
And then if an air raid siren should sign, they can go and sit in our air raid shelter, which is very atmospheric, but we do cheat and show a few Pathé newsreels in there.
Now, as you can hear, a very familiar sound for me when I was a child, the air raid warning. Two types of sound like that, the air raid warning and, of course, later on, the all clear. And what we tell the children is to have a look around that corner, because through here we have what it would be like to spend the night in an Anderson shelter. The dimensions of this recreated interior of an Anderson shelter are almost exact, except that the width is a little bit wider than the real thing. And we explain how the shelter was built, how it was erected, how it was supplied free right at the beginning of the war to every household that had a garden or a backyard. The reason why you needed a garden or backyard is because it's semi-dug into the ground. Then we talk about the whole experience of spending the night here. Instead of being somewhere that you would shelter for just half an hour, you would have to spend the whole night down here. And I can clearly remember many, many nights in the London Blitz, we would come down this shelter for about tea time, and we'd still be there almost breakfast time next morning.